Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gear Priority Podcast. My name is Justin, and I have Lloyd from Garage Groin here today for this partnered episode.
Today, we're chatting with Johnny about his creation, Mayfly Ultralight Equipment, and how he was able to make a business out of creating insanely lightweight camp footwear from cardboard and string. Welcome to the podcast, Johnny. Where are you calling in from, and how are you doing today?
I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and they're not cardboard, but they're almost like cardboard.
We'll get into that for sure. It's definitely like fancy cardboard and fancy string. We're also gonna be reading some reviews on the Mayfly sandals out to you, trying to get a reaction on that. They are kind of a controversial product a little bit, and Lloyd and I are also big users, so we'll explain some of our experience behind the sandals as well. Lloyd, it's been a month. How are you doing?
Good, man. It's like nice weather in Minnesota. Life is good. Things are busy. I get to talk about one of my favorite products in the entire world today with Johnny, who is both brilliant and quirky and one of my favorite people in the cottage industry. So I'm stoked to talk about a product that I definitely over talk about it. I mean, maybe I don't over talk about it, but I definitely talk about it like disproportionately more than most other pieces. And definitely it's a piece that, if I'm ever looking to kind of just like irk my wife in the right type of way, I'll just like come up from the basement wearing my pair of Amagos and, I'll get some type of reaction. So no, I'm excited.
Nice. Yeah. I think I concur that they're one of the pieces of gear that I talk about a lot. I think people on my YouTube channel are probably like, please, we know about the Mayfly sandals and the Bogler trowel. We know you love them, but I'm gonna until everyone owns a pair of Mayfly sandals and has a Bogler trowel, I'm just going to keep talking about it. But we'll start off with some rapid fire questions, Johnny, just to get to know you a little bit before we kind of dive into the sandals and talk a little bit more about them and read those reviews. So first question, what's the longest distance you've ever walked in a pair of Mayfly sandals?
100 feet.
100 feet, nice. That's practical. That makes sense.
Okay, Johnny, other than a pair of Mayflies, what is one piece of gear that you would never hike without?
You know, I really like that nice new, Nightcore makes that ultralight headlamp. And I think I own four of them. They're in like every pack I have. I take one on my bike trips. Like I always have a headlamp with me because it stinks. I've been benighted. Back in the pre-cell phone days, I was benighted up on top of Smith Rocks in Oregon. And all we had was a little point and shoot flash camera. And my buddy and I, we'd like take a picture and go 50 feet because that's as much as we could see with the flash. And then we were like, we should take another picture and go another 50 feet. And I don't want to do that again.
That's awesome.
That is the innovation that we're talking about, Johnny.
Yeah. You know? Out of the box thinking right there.
You got to improvise.
Great. Improvise, yeah. Okay, stick with the distance theme. What's the longest backpacking trip that you've done?
I hiked the Colorado Trail two summers ago. That was 486 miles in... I forgot how long it took me. I did about 20 miles a day. So whatever that is, like 24 days.
That was pretty close after you'd come out with the Mayfly sandal, right? Was that, I remember talking with you around.
It was about a year afterwards. Yeah.
Year. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Johnny, we already alluded to the fact that Justin and I are both avid users, but if you had to guess who had worn your sandals more, myself or Justin, who would you guess?
I'm going to go with you, Lloyd.
You know, I am honored that you would select me for that, but unfortunately, I'm too much of a keyboard bandit these days, and Justin actually spends time on trail.
Yeah.
Justin has me.
What if you include the at-home wear, Lloyd?
Ooh, if you include at-home wear, I might be more competitive, but I did, you know, yeah, Justin probably has an extra, like, 50 or so days with them than I do, but... you know, it's just one of those life goals that I'll need to strive more towards is more time in my Mayflies.
Yeah, I think I have over 100 days probably closer to like 130, 140 maybe on one pair, and then about 40, 50 days on the other pair right now.
I've got the pair that I took on the Colorado Trail, and like, you know, they're a little warped, but they're still holding up just fine. I guess I should ask if I could see the ones you got.
I was looking for the 100-day pair. I think they're in a pack somewhere right now that got back from a big trip, and everything's still in the throes of being unpacked. I have my 50 pair a day, which is still, they're still going pretty good. The top is almost pristine, a little bit of bent, and then the bottom just has some stabby holes in them, which don't really seem to like affect the structural stability, like the structural capacity of them or anything. Like, yeah, they're going strong.
That's great.
Mine are in the basement, but I feel embarrassed that I didn't bring them.
Wait, are you a pajama guy?
What was that?
You come up from the basement wearing my sandals. Are you wearing like pajamas or a bathrobe? Like, what's your getup?
You know, it's a little bit of anything. I feel like it. Yeah, it's kind of just like depending on what time of day I'm giving this a go. But I, you know, I have my Imagos are usually my go to. But I'll mess around with the nymphs every once in a while.
Glad to hear it.
For those listening, those are the two types of sandals that
made. We'll have to get into the story behind the names.
Yeah, before the story, did I pick like really annoying product names that are just awful, or are they okay?
They're great.
They're great. Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
I forget which one's which. I think this one's the nymph, I think. No, this is the Imago. Okay, yeah. The nymph is the one with the that you stick your toes through the end, right? Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's what I have troubles with, is remembering which one's which, because I switch out between them all the time.
If you either made them or packed dozens of them, you would know the difference.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, you guys are touching a lot of them and sending them out to people every day, so it makes a difference. All right, Lloyd, let's deep dive in on the Mayflies. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, Johnny, in like a couple minute summation here, I'd love to hear just kind of what the origin story was for Mayfly and kind of like how you got this idea and how things got started.
In 2020, I was going to hike the Appalachian Trail, which is the trail that I grew up hiking on. And I actually went to college right on the trail. I've probably done, whatever, a few hundred miles of the AT here and there. But I'd never hiked it. And I'd actually never been down to the Smokies or down to Springer Mountain or any of that stuff. So I figured I'd hike the southern half. Up to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, and just take a quick detour and show up at my parents' house in DC. And I was packing up for the trip, and I know from enough of my backpacking history that I don't like having sweaty, gross feet. I wear sandals like pretty much every month except January, and even then, like, you can catch me in sandals. So I was looking around for stuff. I couldn't find anything, and I figured all I need is like the bare minimum. Like, there's got to be some way to connect the bare minimum amount of thing to my foot so I can take off my stupid socks. And I walked around the block and saw one of those like Joe for Mayor signs made of coroplast. I don't remember if I took that sign, which would be illegal.
don't admit to anything.
I know, right? Maybe like I found one that was in the trash and I took that one. But I started futzing around with like cords and knots and like tying them. And like the first pair, I probably have a picture, but they were clunky and ugly. But all you have to do is like, you know, figure out a way to strap this flat stuff, you know, to your feet. And most sandals work the same way. And I figured out a lot since then, but the first one was that. And so I made it for the AT. And then of course the flight that I had to Atlanta was for March 20th, which was like the day the CDC declared COVID a thing. And I would have been all for going to hike in the woods and be out in the middle of nowhere, but I just figured these little towns down there, like, you go to some gas station, and if they're like, don't come in, also, we don't have macaroni and cheese, like, that would be really bad. Like, all I need is mac and cheese, but if they're out of it, that hike would be a no-go. So I didn't do it. Instead, I started working on refining the product. But it really was invented out of necessity. And then I guess I kind of have a history of making weird things and seeing if I can sell them. So I figured, what the heck? I bought a website and tried to sell them. And I guess the rest is history. I don't know.
Nice. That was good. I like that. A lot of people, when we ask what's the origin story, they go back to like, I was born in 1976, and then they go through their entire life origin story. So thanks for keeping it to the product. And I think you came in just under 2 minutes. I'm curious, now you mentioned it, what are some other products that you've made?
Oh, I ran a company called Zero Per Gallon in San Francisco, and I used to ride to all these different bike shops in town and collect old bike tires and make belts out of bike tires. I kind of made this special tool for ripping the beads off the tires. I sold belts. I sold a bunch of stickers. I sold like 20,000 stickers to bike enthusiasts all over the country, mostly West Coast, but all over the country. Some t-shirts. I made some sailboat parts that didn't go anywhere. That was a lesson in like that industry. They don't want minimalism. They want the opposite. They want fancy and well machined and all that stuff. Was there anything else? I guess that'll do. Two companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think you kind of mentioned what Mayfly sandals are made of, because we jokingly say they're cardboard and string, but they're a little bit more a little bit fancier than that. So can you run us through what, and especially like, they're obviously fancier, they wouldn't last over 100 days. So can you run us through kind of what they're made of?
Yeah. So this stuff is coroplast, which is what Joe for Mayor signs are made of, and which this is just fluted polypropylene. So it's like a polypropylene cardboard. And for what it's worth, I would happily charge less and send the materials to people in so that they could assemble them themselves. But getting the cords through the cardboard stuff in a way that prevents it from ripping requires some tools that I can't send out to every customer. So that option is just a no-go. So part of the reason, I know that, you know, it seems like, what, I'm paying like $20 for like 1 ounce of plastic, but they take some time to make and they take some pretty strange technique. Like, I kind of had to work through how the heck to get these cords to stay in the right place. And then of course there's some non-skid stuck on there, just like on the deck of a skateboard. There's one for sort of the forefoot, one for the heel. And then there's some patches in the back. So you don't go slip sliding around. Cause they're not skis. They're just enough to keep your feet from getting all grody. And then of course there's a super little lightweight buckle. So you can cinch them down. And I guess, yeah, that's it. That's what they are.
Yeah. All right. So just to paint a picture for the people who are listening, you have the base, which is that sign material that you were talking about, the polypropylene kind of, yeah, sign material. And then there's like pieces of string that are going through at the toe end, and then the heel end, and then around the heel you have a little bit of a wrap that goes around the heel, and then the toe either goes over top of all your toes, or you have the thong style sandal as well, which are the two different versions. And I think there's some plastic pieces on the string that you have there. And then
I don't actually know. We can get dorky here. I don't know if this is actually a line lock or not. I think the line lock is technically, I don't know how close I can get. I think the line lock is a little different, but it's similar to a line lock. This is the only buckle. Well, I think this buckle is super cool. Because you can position it where you want and still tighten it up over here, or you could put it up there and tighten it up. I guess if you had like, who's like a famous character with gross feet? Is there like someone in Star Wars who has disgusting feet? Chewbacca probably had nasty feet. Yeah. So I think this buckle is really cool, and I get all you want to do is, you know, keep them from slipping. But discovering, I don't know, I dove into all the different buckle companies and all the different kinds of buckles they make, and finding one that was like, this is the lightest buckle anybody makes. And I was pretty proud of finding that one.
And it works really well too. Like I use them a lot. So I don't have to put my feet into either like my wet or kind of gross, stinky, shoes that I've been hiking in all day. I'll just have the sandals outside my tent, throw those on if I have to pee. And it's really nice to be able to just like throw the buckles on, cinch them up. And then when you get to get to the tent, just kind of flick them forward and then they loosen right off and your foot just falls out of them.
This is a new thing. I now take one of these little folding Z-Rest things. I think this weighs probably about as much as, I'd say that's pretty similar. When I'm on a backpacking trip, I just tuck these in there and these go like in the outer pocket of my pack. And I find it awesome. I get to camp. I want to cook dinner and like, this is my seat and this is what goes on my feet. And I'm a happy person like so fast.
Yeah. How much do they weigh?
I forget, but is that exactly the same as a Snicker? I did a whole thing where I looked up, it's like the same as 4/4 or like a Snickers bar or.
Yeah, I forget. It's probably around that's like 50 grams or so. I forget how much a Snickers bar weighs. So let me look it up here.
Okay, so less than a Snickers bar. By the way, if you go down the rabbit hole of looking up Snickers bars as kind of like units of measure, you can find an image online of how many Snickers bars will fit in a bear can. And I think it's like 182. Now that is a trip. That's like my kind of trip is like, we're just going to go to Alaska and take 180 Snickers bars.
How many calories would that be? That's like 182 times 200, 36,000 calories. So if you're going like, let's say you're doing 6,000 calories a day, that's like a week trip right there on Snicker bars.
How many cat holes a day do you think that is?
Yeah, that depends on your gut.
Johnny, I frequently refer to your sandals as foot platforms. For myself, as I think that the yard sign material is just amazing. Like the amount of like durability that it actually does provide. And I feel like the use case for me as someone who didn't like traditionally bring camp shoes along, I find myself having like a very specific need for Mayfly sandals. And that is, when I'm going to the bathroom or when I need to be able to fill up water, or if I need to be able to just like, you know, go in a very tight radius around my my tent. And for that, it's like, it's so much better than going barefoot. But it never in the past has ever justified like actually bringing, you know, a full pair of sandals along. And so for me, when we first connected and you started making pairs, I was like, this is brilliant. Like, if anyone says like, oh, it's just cardboard and string, which I like as a joke, it's like, yeah, that's the point. It's exactly what I want it to be and nothing else.
Other people say that you should wear bread bags, which seems like a different version of a wet, stinky sock that's going to keep your foot from breathing. And I've also read people talk about how when you get to camp, just loosen the laces and like leave your shoes on. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want socks and shoes off.
And that's what I do sometimes. Like I'll take my foot out of my sock, take the footbed out of my shoe, and then wear my shoes barefoot. But that doesn't help with the house. Like my shoes get really stinky, and that doesn't help with my feet be able to breathe and like kind of air out a little bit and get rid of that stink. And then if I'm putting on my camp or like my socks for my sleeping and stuff like that, then as soon as I put them in my shoe, then those get stinky, and then all of a sudden everything is stinky, and I like being able to just air my foot out.
Which sucks for like those nice and lightened equipment sleeping bags. I don't want that thing smelling like shoe.
No, exactly. I'm curious with the design of the Mayfly sandals. Have there been like a lot of it? You mentioned the first one was kind of clunky. Have there been a lot of iterations to the point where we're at now with the sandals? Or like what are the kind of like the sequences of design that you went through?
Yeah, the first pair didn't have any non-skid because it was tricky figuring out where to get the stuff of the right grit with an adhesive back. And then when I did get non-skid and I didn't have a laser cutter, which I'll tell you about, You ever seen those like crinkle cut scissors that will cut little zigzags on stuff? I was just doing it by hand, and so I'd cut out. It looked dumb if I just cut like a straight rectangle, so I cut them with crinkle scissors, and it. I guess they looked cooler, but they weren't good, and they weren't the right shape. What else has there been? Figuring out what size. So this is silicon tubing, which kind of protects the cord from ripping the flutes of the polypropylene, and figuring out like where to get the best silicon tubing. It's better than it used to be. I think I tried some silicon plastic stuff before. Now this is straight up like food grade silicon tubing. I got a lot more colors of cords. I think I have like 24 colors now. And much of it is I don't know if you can see, it's like reflective. You see the little like, whatever, every 10th fiber is reflective stuff. The colors, I think the first ones I got were not like this. They were plain, like red or blue. Boring. Like, what's the point of being boring in the outdoors, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the pair that I have here, and it has a logo and then like your name printed on it. Like, do you get that custom printed and cut?
Yeah, I get these custom printed and CNC cut by a sign shop. That's what they do. I do the non-skid. I've got this like 400-pound laser cutter that takes up a good portion of my living room, and so I cut hundreds of pieces of this stuff regularly.
Was the sign company like what are you, why are you making little foot signs, or do they ask questions, or?
One change that you did make, Johnny, is you started adding the size number directly onto the shoe instead of having it be a sticker.
I'm glad you noticed that, Lloyd. Did that make your life easier?
It did, you know, like it was one of those things where I was, you know, picking a size 10 from our shelves, and I was like, oh.
Small details. Because I send you like hundreds at a time.
I see what he did here. I love that. You know, small details. That's correct. Yeah. Very well organized. They do add a lot of pop to the Garage Groom Gear shop too, you know. And you would find a lot of very enthusiastic Mayfly wearers. You know, we're there's some debate between Imagos and Nymphs, but Mayflies, universally loved by Garage Groom Gear staff.
That's cool.
There actually might be one who really doesn't, but you know, I don't want to gaslight their thoughts on these, but you know, the vast majority of us are very pro.
You know, it's funny because my go-to sandal in regular life, oh god, that's how flexible I am, is a pair of Bedrocks, which have sort of the Nymph style, like toe thong thing. And I think these are 8 ounces per shoe, and mine are, you know, less than 1 ounce per shoe. In any case, I do prefer the Imagos without the toe thong.
Yeah. What about you, Lloyd?
Same, Imagos. I don't like stuff in between my toes.
Okay.
It makes me feel uncomfortable.
If I'm going like on a trip where I know I'm going to be probably walking a bit more, then I'll take the one with the toe thong. Otherwise, I'll go with the Imagos, because I find I just have a little bit more kind of stability with the toe piece. But yeah, they're both good. I think it depends on whether you like stuff between your toes or not.
I don't know. So many of the sports that we do involve all this weight on your feet for all this time of the day, and I don't know if it has to do with like age or experience or kookiness, but like I just want to take care of my feet. It makes me feel like a real person. Whether it's like when I'm done cross country skiing or hiking the Grand Canyon, like I want socks and shoes off to feel like a person again.
Support. Johnny, I've got 3 reviews here that are admittedly poached from the Garage Groom Gear site. I have a 5-star review, a 3-star review, and a 1-star review. I'd love to get you know, your reactions to each. Partially because, yeah, Justin said earlier, like, there's nothing you didn't say earlier. There's nothing controversial about your sandals, but people sure do love having opinions on them. And I feel like we get the most glowing reviews and then also the folks who like do not understand the assignment at all. And you know what? I think there's a lot of good products on the market that have use cases. And if you use them for that use case, they're great. And if you don't use them for that use case, they're not going to be. I'd like to, read these three. And then
I've gotten 5 or 6 emails from people who were like, I'm doing X trail and there's a bunch of water crossings. Would your sandals be okay? And I've started being like, no, that's not what they're for. Like the force of water is great. And if you're going to be anywhere over like ankle depth, you probably should just go barefoot or, you know, wear an actual strong, sturdy thing. That's not the use case for my sandals. So maybe that's what the 1-star review is, a guy who was like swept down a river and lost his sandals.
Nothing that dramatic. And I won't out anyone's like, name, emails or social security numbers on reviews. Okay, we'll start off with the 5-star, just to kind of ease into this. But I have been searching for a camp shoe that is light but functional. I don't always need camp shoes, but there are times that I'm really glad that I have them. These are extremely light and very functional. Only used them once, but they seem great. Allowed me to lighten my load just a little more. Great product so far.
It lightens your load. It's lighter than taking... I mean, Chacos are like 2.5 pounds or something. Crocs are like a pound. A pound over however many miles you're hiking is not nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that line for me of I don't always need camp shoes is 100% the reason why I use Mayflies. It's because I don't, but when I do, I have something. Okay, you ready for the 3-star? This also loops in another participant on this podcast as well. Ordered these camp shoes for backpacking trips after watching Justin Outdoors' video. I didn't feel the love for these that he did. The front strap was tight, and I had a feeling that I wouldn't be long before the sandals would break just putting them on. Probably would have kept the sandals if it was $20.
Sadly, that guy didn't read my website carefully enough. This front strap can be adjusted by sliding this little knot this way or that way. And that gives you kind of like plus or minus 3/4 of an inch. Because some people, your foot, some people have a thin foot. Some people have a big old fat foot, not judging your foot. It's just how your foot's shaped. So you gotta dial this thing in, which you got to do with every piece of clothing or gear you have anyway. The same for your hip belt, the same for your pack straps. You can't just be like, I bought this backpack and the straps are too long. Like, you got to tighten the straps. So this thing can be adjusted. And then once it's the right size for your foot, you can also pull it nice and tight so it stays on your foot, forward and back. This is not my foot. And then the second part of the guy's comment was like, what'd he say? Like, it seems like he was sort of like guessing what would happen, which seems like a weird way to leave a review. Like let's work with what has happened instead of what you think is going to happen, but whatever.
Yeah, totally. And that idea of adjustability is an element that makes the sandals so great. Is that like, I don't know, similar to a pack, like I'm constantly changing my, my load lifters or my shoulder straps or my hip belt. And, not that I'm usually moving around that much in my Mayflies to need to be constantly adjusting, but I like the option to be able to shift based on what's comfortable or, if my feet are like a little, pudgier that day from use or whatever.
I like to soak my feet. Like every time I cross a creek, at least on the CT, on some of the bigger days, if I crossed a creek like mid-morning or mid-afternoon, I would just stop and make soup and soak my feet in cold water for 20 minutes and put on these sandals. And my guess is that when you put your feet in like ice cold water, they get a little bit smaller and maybe you want to adjust them a little bit, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. You might.
I think the adjustability is something that people probably don't notice right off the bat with the different knots and pieces that can slide around. So if you're out there and you're find that the fit isn't quite on par, definitely check out the facts. That's probably on the facts page on mayflyultralight.com, Johnny.
It's on the product page. There's a description of all the features. Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny, I think that observation too about the fact that like they feel like they would. I think that is one of the things that when people talk about the durability of the product and they say like, I don't think it would, or like, it, I don't, I like, well, you know, a lot of people have put a lot of miles on those with like, yeah, like I think my pair of Imagos has like a puncture through them, but it also doesn't like render them not usable. Like they're, it's not quite like a self-healing material, but like it, you know, it doesn't just like leave some gaping hole there. Like it's usually just like a, or at least mine, it's like a very like small.
Yeah. Whenever I step on a sharp rock and I get like, actually, even in the pair that I took in the CT, there's no holes in the bottom. But when I get a hole, the first thing I do is I send a note to the park service and I'm like, you guys got to get rid of some of those sticks and rocks. That's not cool. Park is too rocky.
Get the rake crew out there, raking the rocks off the trail. It's,
but also, when I started putting these online, I added a guarantee and I was apprehensive at first because I thought a lot of people are going to write back and be like, you know, I want a new pair. And I've sold thousands and I think I've replaced like four. Like it's, they work. Yeah.
Before we get to the other one, I think we just need to like maybe talk about the use case a little bit, as far as like, I think John, you mentioned having to let people know like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be crossing streams and stuff with these. I think I get a lot of comments like, I couldn't walk more than like 5 miles in these. I'm like, you walked 5 miles in these? Like it's, I think they're definitely like a camp sandal, as opposed to.
I got some good friends up in Leadville, Colorado, who hiked the Appalachian Trail right after college in sandals. They didn't take sneakers or socks. They just hiked the whole thing in sandals. And I get that. My sandals, my camp shoes are not for this endeavor. Mine are, you wearing whatever footwear you're wearing, you get to camp, you plop down your pack, and now you take off your socks and shoes, and you probably don't leave a radius of like 50 feet. If the water is a quarter mile away, you might go put on socks and shoes to go get water. But if you're at camp, you are, I don't know, you're finding a nice place to sit and cook. You're maybe looking at the sky or the stars or the sunset or whatever. Maybe you're walking around the tent and pounding in stakes or like tightening up the fly, or that's about it. Like you're sort of, your day is done. Your travel is now greatly reduced to a small little area. That's what these are for.
No, Johnny, when I hiked the Spear Hiking Trail like a year and a half or so ago. And yeah, they were perfect for me because when I'm hiking by myself, like I hike from pretty much like 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. I wasn't hiking with anyone. And when I got into camp, I pretty much just like set up my tent and went to sleep. And, you know, I'm not like hanging around camp. I'm not like going on any like little night hikes. Like I'm just hiking, getting to my spot, setting my stuff up, maybe needing to go to the bathroom, maybe needing to fill up water, but like, that's it. And, you know, if I was hiking with a group of friends where the idea behind the trip was to like hang out and camp a bunch, like I would leave my Mayflies at home and bring something different because that like wouldn't match the objective of the trip, because I would be needing something that I might be able to do like some random spur trail on or go and do some day hike and kind of want something more casual.
I did a couple 5-day river trips this spring. And rivers are different from backpacking trips because there's kind of no limit to how much weight you can carry. And so I took these cause I wanted to get cool photos like in, you know, on the Gila River and up on the Dolores River. But I also took like real sandals and that's what I wore because every time we got to camp, we'd go mess around and hike up some side canyon and climb up some rocks and do all this stuff. And that was not the use case for these things. You know, like I wasn't on a backpacking trip where every ounce counted. So, yeah. So let's hear the 1-star review.
Right.
I can handle it.
Are you ready for this? Okay, not that bad. 1-star review. They have dangerously little grip. The material crushes and deforms when you step, and even putting them on is clunky and awkward. don't waste your money on this.
It's not like you can see up your shorts while putting them on. I mean, it's awkward. It's like the same as any other pair of shoes. You got to put them on. I don't know.
Maybe they're rocking like the 3-inch inseam shorts with no liner and things are just flopping around everywhere. And
could be, yeah. I try to put them on over my head and it's hard to get them down to my foot. Like it's not working. Yeah. Dangerous. I don't know about dangerous. That is a danger. I mean, that's why you write a note to the park service. Like this whole area is freaking dangerous. Clean it up, guys. I don't know. I mean, dangerous sounds like, did the guy say I wore them and slipped and fell and bonked my head? Or did he just say like, I think they're dangerous?
Yeah, I think probably the latter. You know, no tales of dangerous steps or real, no imminent loss of limbs or life here. It doesn't seem like.
I think people like maybe they're trying to. The thing I could see is maybe they're trying to get down to like a water source, and it was like a steep, kind of like hill going down to the stream, and you could feel a little bit unstable. But if you try to like run down a hill, like you would with regular shoes, then you're probably that might be dangerous. But I think it's you got to keep the limitations of the sandal in mind. I think at the same time, right?
Okay, Jackie, I'm glad that you were able to survive those three. We published a newsletter a little while ago that was like our most polarizing products, and I think the imago was like.
I should write a little. It'll be a diatribe, but a short diatribe. But people have this notion that was handed down to them of what you should and shouldn't take on a backpacking trip. And one of the things you shouldn't take, according to handed down wisdom, is certain creature comforts, which is funny because like the foods that we can take now are so much more amazing than just like dried beans and dried pasta. Like I got these little packets of tom kha soup, you know, the lemongrass Thai soup. And like it's you can also take miso soup. It's like I don't know. I've had a lot of ramen in my life and it's pretty good to have other kinds of soup going on. Anyway, people have this notion of like what comforts you should and shouldn't take. And a backpacking trip is probably this monkish thing where you go and it's austere and it's uncomfortable. But that's how it is because that's how it always was. And I don't know. That's just not my view.
And I think maybe where people kind of run into like an issue with in how they're thinking about it is that they either think like you have to be extremely ultralight and not bring anything. Or you have to have like giant durable things that are going to weigh a lot. And I think where the Mayfly sandals come in is like they're a nice middle ground where they're a comfort item that you can bring on an ultralight trip. And like that's where I use them on the Great Divide Trail. Like I was out there and I use them every single day for 36 days because they were light enough that I could throw them in my pack on a trip where I was trying to crush like 30 miles a day and be as lightweight as possible. So they fit it.
And cheap enough, like, you know, this, I think these guys, you sell these, right, Lloyd? So I could have gotten like a titanium butt injection so that anywhere I sit down, like I could put any rocks and any sticks and I wouldn't have to carry this, but like this is $5 and a titanium butt injection, you know, that's like a custom job. That's a custom job.
Who even knows how much that costs?
Thousands. And you got to go to Korea for it. So you have to pay for the flight. It's a lot.
No, I mean, like that seems like a future product of Garage Grown, you know, at least some type of custom offering. Steve would love to make that. Yeah. I'll send him an email after this. I think that's one of the best things about ultralight though. And I think kind of a misconception that one has to kind of battle against ultralight to me doesn't mean that you don't have any comforts. It means that you're very intentional about the ones that you do prioritize. And by prioritizing the rest of your gear, you're able to prioritize the things that really do matter to you, not the stuff that like kind of sort of might matter to you. And I think that makes you appreciate them even more. Like it makes you focus on that thing more because it is the thing that you decided to bring along that matters like to you and sometimes only you. And that's awesome.
I guess part of that, I mean, built into that sentence structure is, you know, whatever floats your boat. Like if you're not into sandals, like, I'm not going to convince you that you need sandals and it's not going to make your life better. But if you know that you like not to have stinky, sweaty feet for, I don't know, 12 hours a day.
I think it even comes into play for blisters as well. Like, I didn't get a blister at all on the Great Divide Trail. And I do it like attribute part of that to the fact that every night when I got to camp, I would take off my shoes, I would wash my feet, get all the dirt and grit off of them, and then put them into sandals and let them dry out. And I didn't even come close to having a blister, any sort of foot issues with the skin. So that was, I do think it can kind of help out maybe if people are looking to do a lot of miles comfortably. Could be something for them.
What's the guy's name, Mac, who writes about, he interviews all the PCT hikers every year and asks them, halfway anywhere. He's written about how foot injuries are one of the leading causes of people dropping out. And so, I mean, a little bit of foot hygiene goes a long way. And if 2 ounces of, you know, plastic and cord is what lets you get some foot hygiene action, like, that's, it allows you to keep hiking like the whole freaking trail for 6 months. That's great. All it is 2 ounces.
It's so funny. The thing that people think, like, are reasons why people bail on through hikes are just like so infrequently the actual reason. I think that a lot of people think that it's just like too, like, it's too physically demanding. Like, they're not going to be in good enough shape to be able to do it. Whereas, like, I don't know, like, I mean, granted, I haven't hiked any of the Triple Crown trails, but I've hiked a lot and long distances, and you know, the barriers to me that have kept me from completing things is largely small nagging injuries and my brain. Like, I it's too much time by myself, or I'm not in the right, like, mental and emotional space. And when one thinks about daily self-care routines, like, that's what helps you be able to do both of those, is like stop against, you know, wearing injuries and like keep your brain present. Also ice cream. Yeah. No, I saw this quote the other day that made me think a lot about how I feel about hiking at times, where I'm like, if I don't think too much about the future or too much about the past, I'm great. And yeah, you know, and you're like, yeah, I think, like, if I try to just remind myself that when I'm hiking places, be like, I'm fine. It's good.
Yeah. That's a good life lesson right there. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, it's great having you on, Johnny. Cool to chat, to see you face to face. I know it's been a few years since we first chatted about the Mayfly sandals. And I know it's kind of like one of those things where you're a big fan of something and then you get to meet the creator. It's always interesting, and appreciate you having you on here.